Okay, so today's date is May 26, 2020, and it is 5 o'clock p.m. Would you care to introduce yourself, tell us your name, what you do for a job, where you work?
So my name is Mike Mahalski, and I live in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. And my role, my position, is a branch manager for a company called Migratory Bird Management. And we exclusively work in management of nuisance birds like geese and gulls, and we also do other things to protect buildings from bird damage. So our work is really related to health and safety.
Okay. So how has COVID-19 affected your job, and in what ways has it affected your job?
Well, fortunately, it hasn't affected us greatly as far as in loss of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a few customers that we've had to they've had to save money and have not utilized our services, but ultimately it's made us be more stringent in health and safety regulations. We as a company had adopted a COVID-19 strategy, and we provided that information to our customers, and certainly on a personal level, hand sanitation, washing your hands, using a mask. All of our employees have to wear masks when they're inside and outside, and there's a lot of protocols we need to follow with our customers for related to health and safety and the COVID-19.
Okay, so I know that you had to kind of work with state, with local government and state government to get your business considered essential. What was that like? What was that fight like? Was it difficult? Was it an easy process?
Yeah, so we really... Fortunately, our business is considered an essential business because of what we do on a daily basis is protect properties from, as I mentioned, nuisance birds.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be in the spring with nesting geese that are very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And can cause conflict with people. And then it's also related to droppings from geese. Droppings are have a host of issues with them related to health and safety, like E. coli. So really what we needed to do was just make certain by reaching out to a couple of agencies just to see if we were considered an essential business, which we were.
Mm-hmm.
So that process was actually relatively easy for us. Getting the work done has been a little more difficult.
Sure.
Because of, you know, getting into properties and some of the restrictions related to that.
Okay. So has the pandemic affected the employment of people that you know, and in what ways?
Well, it's affected, some people I know, like my brother-in-law, has been furloughed because his business is related to travel and design and trade shows, and that's obviously been canceled because of the pandemic. We've had friends of our family and of myself that have either been laid off or furloughed because of the lack of work. So it has hit pretty close to home.
Mm-hmm.
With some of the people we know.
Yeah. So what, for you, what have been the biggest challenges that you have faced in during the COVID-19 outbreak?
I think it's just continuing to be making sure that you haven't gotten lackadaisical. So making certain that you are washing your hands and you are using hand sanitizers, making certain that you do utilize your mask and you practice social distancing. Practice social distancing and not get complacent. I think as the longer this goes and the weather starts getting nicer and you know, you start to think that maybe you don't need to do those things, but until they come up with a vaccine, I think we're going to have to some degree continue to do this. And it's been also on a business level, making certain that our employees haven't gotten lackadaisical, because you know, if one of us gets sick, it could cause our business to be suspended for a while.
Okay. So I know recently with the Supreme, the Wisconsin courts striking down the Safer at Home order.
Sure.
I know you still practice, you know, the regulations that were put in place earlier. Seeing people around you when you go to stores, when you go out for work, not practicing this, how does that make you feel?
Well, it is you know, it is concerning.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just so much of the unknown. We don't know, typically, you know, if you relate this COVID-19 to the flu, as it gets warmer, flu symptoms, the likelihood of people getting the flu diminishes historically. But you just don't know with this new virus. So it is frustrating at times to go to a grocery store and see people who don't have masks on. And, you know, in our work in working with numerous people, whether it's building engineers or property managers, it sometimes can be frustrating when you're, you know, when you're doing the 6-foot social distancing, and people, you see people are kind of coming closer or not. So, you know, it's just you have to be vigilant, and you just hope you can only control what you can do, and you know, you just hope that the other people around you are doing the same.
Sure. So, kind of piggybacking off of that, how have your concerns with the COVID-19 pandemic kind of changed since you first heard about it to where we're at now? Or I guess I should say, what concerns did you have to start with, and then how did they evolve over the?
Well, I think with most people, at first you thought it was not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was all, you know, a lot of people, me included, thought it was a lot about nothing. But as weeks gone by and you start to see more and more of the country be affected, you start seeing the number of people, not just, you know, in the United States, but across the country, and you start, you know, watching TV and you start to see people who are, you know, definitely dying from this and suffering from this, it becomes real to you. And, you know, so it's really evolved. I mean, you know, it's gone from a 1 to a 9 when the level of concern for myself and for people that I know.
Okay. Yeah. How have municipal leaders and government officials in your community responded to the outbreak?
Well, I think, you know, there's always, seems like in this day and age, there's always politics involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a state level, our governor, I felt has taken appropriate action. And it's easy to be critical of him, but, you know, certainly he's a Democrat, and certainly Republicans have pushed back against it. So I feel, you know, it's something that I feel comfortable with the, you know, Governor Evers has done, and you know, I think it's easy to throw stones at somebody to do these things, whether, you know, it's closing down businesses and shops. And again, I'm fortunate our business is working. You know, maybe my attitude would be a lot different if I was a small business owner,
right,
or was laid off from furloughed. So, and I think on a national level, it's just, you know, it's politics as usual.
Sure. Do you have any thoughts on how local, state, or federal leaders are responding to the crisis differently?
What do you mean?
I mean, with the different reactions that we've seen with, like, you know, Governor Evers taking it really seriously and other local leaders, and then on that kind of national level, you see that.
Well, you know, I think most, you know, most government people have taken it seriously. Some were slower, you know, I mean, case could be made that our president was slow to take this and fully embrace it. And certainly, you know, he's eager to get things back on because it's an election year. I don't know. You know, I think that it was disappointing that it was disappointing that in Wisconsin that the two parties couldn't talk about a resolution or a compromise, and it had to go to a court level. I think that's just a sad commentary on our country.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's difficult because depending on where you sit, you want to criticize the other side for their decisions, and it's very easy to, but it's also very easy to understand where both sides are coming from. Because personally, like you mentioned, I agree with that safer at home. I agreed with the extension. I thought that was a good idea, but I can also understand where other people are coming from, wanting to, you know, get back to work.
Right.
Get back, because with small business owners, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, walk a day in somebody's shoes or a mile in somebody's shoes, whatever the saying is. Mm-hmm. It's easy for us to sit here in this household when you know, my wife and I are working and still supporting us, and you know, and say, well, it's, you know, it's an overreaction by other people to say that we should just open up the businesses and open the country back up. Again, if I was not working and, you know, the bills were mounting, I think I probably would sing a different tune.
Okay. So has the pandemic affected how you associate and communicate with friends and family, and what are some of those ways?
Well, certainly we're not, you know, seeing many people other than people, you know, in our family. I don't know how it's going to, you know, I think, I don't know what the new normal is going to be.
Right.
You know, I don't know if anybody's ever going to shake anybody's hand. And I don't know if you're ever, it's going to be a long time before you have, you know, big events, concerts and, you know, basketball games and football games and things without, you know, people being reserved about going, have reservations about going to it. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously with this COVID, you know, we're not, you know, we're not leaving the house, we're not having people over to the house, so it has affected us socially.
Okay. You may not have an answer to this question, but in what ways do you think that COVID-19 is affecting people's mental and or physical health? I think that's a pretty complex question because we don't have all the details.
Right. Well, I do believe that it's affecting people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are tired of being in the house. People want to get out. They want to go, you know. I think it's good that they've opened up some of the state parks. So I think on one level, it's people are eager to get out. So now that we're able to do some of that, I think that's good. I think that there's also just that level of uncertainty of, you know, as you mentioned earlier question, you go out to a store and you see people who don't have a mask. Am I close enough? Am I too far? Mm-hmm. Am I far enough away? But I do think, I mean, this is not something that we can't indefinitely, you know, be stuck at home.
Right.
I mean, there is going to be, you know, concerns with people's, you know, mental stability, this and things of that nature. If it doesn't get any better, and I think until there is a vaccine, as you know, even if the, you know, the doctors and the experts say you're free to go, you're free to do whatever you used to do, whether that's go to a football game or go to a concert or shake someone's hand or give someone a hug, I think until there's an actual vaccine that works, I think people are going to be reluctant to do that. Some people are going to be reluctant to do that.
Right. I think, just kind of to address this question myself, I think with affecting people's mental health, I really think it depends on what your living condition is, because I think with us being four of us in the house, there's someone else that you can talk to face to face. But if you're living alone, I think that would have a significant impact.
And, you know, and people who have, you know, elderly parents or relatives, like in nursing homes, they can't see them. You know, obviously with technology now, you can do, you know, Zoom calls and Skype and things of that nature. But I think it's got to be harder on older generational people who may not be, you know, that tech savvy, who are really, really isolated and who may need to count on somebody to take them somewhere or go someplace.
Yeah. But on the other hand, just seeing what's going on in the neighborhood here, I think it's really improving. It might be improving people's physical health, because when they can't go places, a lot of people are taking walks, long walks.
A lot of dogs getting more exercise than they've got in their life.
Yeah. So what have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic, and how have they changed, or have they changed?
So, I mean, primarily, you know, my news comes from, you know, cable news, and you know, on the phone. So that really hasn't changed. I don't think anything about this coverage has made me change my opinion about, you know, the media, or made me consider, you know, changing my primary cable news or local news to a different channel because of the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's really impacted me at all.
Okay. What do you think are important issues from watching the news that the media may or may not be covering, or may not be covering effectively enough?
You mean non-COVID issues or related to COVID?
Related to COVID, non-COVID. Anything that you think is something that should be getting more attention from the media but isn't?
I don't think I can think of anything. I mean, I believe that in that our news show, probably 2/3 of it is COVID related. So I don't think they've missed too much.
Sure.
So no, I don't think there's anything that I think they've missed. So, you know, probably case could be made that there's too much coverage of it.
Okay.
And it's getting too redundant.
Okay. Okay. So just a couple more questions here. Has your experience transformed how you think about your family, your friends, and your community, and how so?
Well, I think when it comes to our family, I think anytime you go through something like this, you're thankful that everybody's healthy and safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we've spent a lot more time, of course, home.
Right.
And I don't know if we spent more time in the house. I don't know if we've necessarily spent more time together because of, you know, teenage, young men. And, you know, so I hope we've gotten to, you know, appreciate each other a little bit more. And certainly, you know, I think there's a level of concern for our extended family that everybody is healthy and safe. You know, as far as the community, I think sometimes I get more, you know, with people who are, you know, breaking the law or breaking the rules, you know, it's disappointing when you see, you know, people in big gatherings not wearing masks and all that. I think that's really, you know, that's something that's just disrespectful to people. And they've had some protests where people have gotten together. And, you know, I think that is, you know, I think that just shows a lack of respect for people in general.
Sure. Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future? One of the things that I noticed that I think should be kept in mind personally, going forward, is what kind of surprised me was how underprepared we were for something like this. So I think it's important to keep in mind that these things can happen. We need to.
Well, I think on the good side is, mm-hmm, I think as a society we're probably hopefully more conscious of being, you know, personal hygiene, and I hope that doesn't wane as we hopefully get a vaccine.
Right.
You know, I think just in general, I think people are more conscious whether it's going to be a business,
mm-hmm,
or you know, store or whatever the case may be, that, you know, we need to practice better hygiene. You know, we need to wash our hands. We need to hand sanitize. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be a concern. I think if people go to a restaurant or a store or wherever the case may be, and they don't feel that there's, you know, an adequate, if there's not a hand sanitizer or some place to wash their hands, I think that's going to affect that business moving forward.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is all the questions I have for you. Do you have any finishing thoughts?
Nope, I do not.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
It.